It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. You could be here in Georgia with me. You could be in Hawaii. What's up to my friends in Rochester? What's up, Mr. Danger? Shout outs to all my people next door in Alabama. My people in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Hello, San Diego, Minneapolis, Wisconsin, Cincinnati. You could be anywhere. You're here with us. I appreciate that. Anyway, we'll be hanging out for the next 4 hours. This is when we get started, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. How do you listen to the show? Always on a free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, on SiriusXM channel 158, on a smart speaker. All you have to do is ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network, and boom, we pop right on up. What a day, what a day, what a day. What else is new? NFL season is in full swing. College football season is in full swing. Baseball is in the stretch run towards the postseason. The WNBA is going towards the postseason. Hockey is warming up. The NBA is warming up. Damn it. It's a good time to be a sports fan. We got a lot to get into. How about this? Last night, Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins showed up at the end. So Kirk Cousins saved himself a verbal lashing at the hands of Falcons fans. A 70-yard drive to ultimately help the Falcons knock off the Eagles 22-21. We'll talk more about that momentarily, and then we'll also be joined by Joe Giglio at WIP in Philadelphia. He is the Eagles pregame host. He's also a midday host with my good friend, former Eagle crusher Hugh Douglas. So we'll talk to Joe next hour. That'll be fun. Also, in a few hours from now, to kind of catch up on everything going on in the world of college football, Matt Mershell is going to join us from the Orlando Sentinel. I'll have a chance to also ask him about how hot the seat is in Florida, in Gainesville, because the Gators suck right now, and we have a lot more to do. Tua Tagovailoa has officially been placed on injured reserve, so we won't see him for a month at minimum. Speaking of college, we got a lot of teams, a lot of schools who are basically gearing up for the players and their ability to make money directly from the school. Justin Fields is getting some big-time endorsements to continue on as starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. There might be a little bit of hope for Bryce Young, a little bit. We've had some other big-time quarterbacks in NFL history who have been benched, and they've been able to turn things around. Kyler Murray not worried about that. Kyler Murray actually is on his way to the Hall of Fame, or a few of his items, his jersey and football. From this past Sunday, after smacking around the Rams are going to the Hall of Fame, I will explain. Brett Favre, probably not happy with Shannon Sharpe or our legal system. I will explain that as well. And Mike Trout, the guy who's a future Hall of Famer who does not play baseball because he's never healthy. Mike Trout spoke. He did. He understands that he might have to switch things up when it comes to how and where he plays the game. And then also, at the end of the show, I'm going to share with you a great conversation I had with a musical icon, an Atlanta native, one of the most successful producers of all time. This man dated Janet Jackson. He helped make music for Mariah Carey. He founded Crisscross. He's done a lot. Jermaine Dupri is going to join us later on in the show because he had a cool collaboration showing up for the Atlanta Braves, as well as I think a brand a lot of people are familiar with, Starter. So I'll share with you some of the words from Jermaine Dupri later on in the show. If you want to be a part of the show, it's real simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You could also find me. I'm online. I'm on the internet. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief all over the damn place. Hickey, how are you, man? You doing good on this, what's today, Tuesday? You okay?
I am. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I'm doing a lot better than my guy, Saquon Barkley. That is for sure.
Oh, he was so good the whole game. He just dropped the ball.
One drop.
That's it. One drop just changed everything. I can't believe so many of the questions last night. I guess we got to beat up on Nick Sirianni somehow. There's so many questions. Well, why didn't you run the ball? Why didn't you kill more of the clock? Like, they're playing football. Like, they're playing. The man dropped the ball. Saquon Barkley admitted it was his fault. Like, we always got a second guess. So what happens if he runs the ball and then, yeah, they kill the clock a little bit and then kick the field goal? And so there's no guarantee that Kirk Cousins still doesn't go down the field. So what does he do it in? And instead of 70 seconds, he does it in 60? Like, what, 50 seconds? What are we doing here? Yes, time is your friend in that regard. But Saquon Barkley dropped the ball. It's his job to catch it. If he catches the ball, the game is over. Everybody goes home and it's done. Sheesh. Kicking Nick Sirianni's ass. You got me going already, man. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Because he said the decision, as we all saw, to throw the ball didn't work out.
They were running a certain defense and it, junking it up in the middle. So we're trying to go on around the outside, and you know, it didn't work. The decision to pass it there, again, like I said, you know, where they were junking it up inside, with it being fourth and three to go for it, I thought, you know, with them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown and see if they could drive the field, and they did. Hats off to them.
Yeah, not the worst decision in the world. If the guy just caught the ball. And Saquon Barkley continued on. He told everybody, yeah, I sucked. I dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball. Let my team down today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch. Game's over.
Were you surprised about the play call? Did you expect a running play? Or?
No. Once I knew it, I thought it was a great play call. I just got to make a catch. Yeah, I could sit here and, you know, complain and be upset about it, or I could be a professional athlete and go back to the drawing board and, you know, take the lick, move on, and get better from it. I've made that play multiple times. I missed that play before, too, meaning the situation. That happens, part of the game, and I just got to be better. I let my team down. I got a man up to it. I got to own it, which I'm doing, and I can promise those guys in his locker room that I'm going to be better from it.
Yeah, what a catastrophe that one of the best players in the NFL just dropped the football. And now everybody all over America on radio and television has to have a whole dissertation as to whether or not Nick Sirianni did the right thing. He threw the ball to one of the best dual threats in the entire NFL, and he just simply dropped the ball. It ain't that damn complicated. We don't have to overanalyze whether or not they should have run the football and killed clock. That's all moot. I mean, the media even had Jalen Hurts answering questions as to whether or not we still believe in Saquon. Listen to this.
Just didn't make the play in that moment. And I trust him in every moment. He's a hell of a player. He gave us a big spark in those moments. And, you know, it just wasn't for us tonight.
Is that the kind of play that you rep heavily in practice?
Yes.
Man. Can't believe. He just dropped the ball. We got to make it so complicated. Nick Sirianni was even asked by a member of the media, hey, your new offensive coordinator, did he say to throw the ball? Listen to the question. Listen to the answer.
Just to clarify on the calls, though, Kellen's making, you know, that
Kellen's pass, the offensive that coordinator ball, that makes, right? So, Kellen's offensive coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Hey, easy, Nick Sirianni. Easy. Leave the angry coach to Brian Daboll. At least the Eagles have a future for this season, unlike the New York Giants. The Eagles stunk here, okay? At the end of the game, they blew it. It happens. It's football. It doesn't mean Saquon Barkley sucks. It doesn't mean that Nick Sirianni needs to get the boot. Doesn't mean that he needs to get fired. I mean, I'm sure if you're an Eagles fan and you're breathing and you're living this every single day, you certainly feel and understand the rancor and the stench of the defeat last year when you went down into Tampa and you lost, especially coming off of a Super Bowl. I can certainly understand all of it. The Eagles, they got New Orleans on Sunday. That'd be a bounce back, right? Of course, right, I think. I know New Orleans is running around with a 2-0 record now, but we have a little bit of a bounce back. And for the Falcons, oh my God, the Falcons need to be thankful that they did not fall to 0-2. Because here in Atlanta, people would have been losing their minds. The calls for Michael Penix Jr. would have been through the roof all day. What did we bring this bum-ass Kirk Cousins in here for with his one-legged ass and the Achilles? Why did we do it? All day long. Kirk Cousins bought himself some time with that drive to finish off the game. 70 yards. 7-yard touchdown to Drake London. Even Darius Slay on the Eagles. He's like, listen, folks, I messed up. I let him score. I screwed up. Kirk Cousins, I was like, damn, this is going to be a rough day in Atlanta all week. Then he had that game-winning drive. 5 for 6. 70 yards. Found Mooney for those big old chunks. 20, 25, 26. Just going down the field like nobody's business and scoring. And then we saw what happened at the end. You know, the Eagles got the ball back, and Jesse Bates decided to just snatch it out the air, end the game. Nothing else to see here. Kirk Cousins, he spoke to the media, and he said, a win like last night, it's like a spark. It's like a fire. It can get you going.
We can find those inches. It can really change the tail of the season. So we're going to have more of those up ahead, and we're going to have to keep you know, as a whole team, finding ways to make the plays to get it done. And it wasn't just, I mean, it's Koo making the long extra point. It's our defense standing up at the end, too. And I've been a part of games where you go down and score, and then you walk out of here with a loss because you miss that extra point and you go to overtime or you don't get the stop at the end. So it really does take everybody to find a way to come out of here with a win.
Yeah, everybody. Teamwork makes the dream work. That penalty at the end by Drake London, that was a little too much. Hickey, did you see that celebration when he pulled out the hand? I don't even know what that is.
I was going to say, that was not a handgun.
The AR, what was he doing?
I don't know. That's a great question. I feel like we saw that celebration over the weekend. I forget if it was college or the NFL, but someone did something similar. Maybe it was last week, and got the flag. That definitely happened for sure within the first 2 weeks, and the same results happened. I don't know what you're thinking. Almost could have cost the Falcons the game there. Thankfully for them, it didn't. But my goodness, that was talking about poorly timed celebration.
I don't want to be a lame, and I don't think I am. Can we eliminate all the gun celebrations? Like, can we stop that? Am I being an ass if I say let's get rid of all the gun celebrations? A little too much. I'm asking you, what do you think?
Oh, no, I'm with you. Sorry, I'm with you 100%. Like, it's unnecessary. It doesn't really... You're trying to look cool, maybe? I don't know.
Well, no, these guys are doing dances and stuff that they see. That's all it is, stupid dances. Here in Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons just hosted the school and the football team. Because, unfortunately, one of the school shootings that took place a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure there's been others between now and then. There's so many now, you can't keep up. But we had a huge school shooting here like 2 weeks ago. A young man went into a school and killed, I believe, unfortunately, 4 people and injured many more. That was like 45 minutes from the Falcons facility. And the Atlanta Falcons did an amazing job in being hospitable to the team, to the school, to the community, letting them know that, hey, we're all in this together. We feel that. And I get it. In the heat of the moment, is Drake London thinking about a school shooting? No, he's not. But he's all of a sudden just blasting off an AR-15 into the air. And it's like, bruh, slow down. We don't need that. I'm glad he got the penalty. And then so Young Wei had to go out there and kick a 46-yard extra point because Drake London couldn't just celebrate. He had to pull out a gun and just pop it off into the air a million times like he was in a music video. But anyway, I digress. The Falcons got the win. And the city is calm. For now, Kirk Cousins eventually is going to have to do a whole lot more of this to keep people at ease. Because after that first loss to the Steelers, where the Steelers basically field goaled them to death, well, people are like, we giving you 180 mil. Dude, show up. Please, show up. And so Raheem Morris got his first win as head coach of the Falcons. Nice comeback win. The GM, Terry Fontenot, was on the sidelines losing his mind. Arthur Blank, who looks like a supervillain out of, Bullwinkle, he was losing his mind, real happy. Arthur Blank, a great human being, by the way. Raheem Morris, he's like, yeah, I got my first win, but it ain't about me.
You know, I'm pretty easygoing. I'm pretty steady. And I didn't come here to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I was brought here to go out here and try to put us in a tough position to win championships, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah, and for a while there, it didn't look like it was going to happen. Saquon Barkley dropped the football, and then Kirk Cousins was able to capitalize on his arm and his experience to lead the Falcons to a victory. That is something that we would not have seen last year from Taylor Heineke. We would not have seen that from Desmond Ridder. He would have thrown a damn interception. People would have been walking out going, what are we? No, that's what happens when you got a vet in there. Kirk Cousins helped them win a game. And I know the Eagles were not with A.J. Brown. Speaking of injuries, he's probably going to be out for a few weeks with his leg injury. Saquon dropped the ball, and a veteran quarterback in the NFL took advantage and won. Something that he's done many times here throughout his career. And so for one night, the money that the Falcons paid Kirk Cousins, it paid off with a win. It paid off with a victory. And for one day or a week, people here in Atlanta can relax. And people in Philadelphia can hate Nick Sirianni. It's kind of crazy how one team named after a bird can have a good week. And another team can have an awful one. Welcome to the NFL. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Welcome to the show. We got a lot to get into. Speaking of the Eagles, Joe Giglio is going to join us from WIP in Philly. He's going to come through next hour. In a few hours from now, we're going to have a chat with Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. We're going to talk some college football and Florida Gators. Music legend and icon Jermaine Dupri. I'm going to share with you a part of my chat with him. What the hell does Jermaine Dupri have to do with sports? Well, we can look at the Atlanta Braves. We got a lot to do this entire show. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. Phone number works. It's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. Knock yourself out. Not if you're driving, though. At JR Sport Brief. We're going to come back from break. You know what? The phone line's open if you want to call me. But I'll tell you this. The Falcons avoided an 0-2 start. There are 9 teams that have started 0-2. I'm going to tell you what teams you can ignore for the rest of the year because they're trash. And then we got a few that can actually turn things around. Happy Tuesday. I'm here with you. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Falcons avoid an 0-2 hole. Good for them. Kirk Cousins takes them down the field, 70 yards. Touchdown to Drake London. After Saquon Barkley drops a ball, which would have pretty much ended the game, run out the clock, giving them more chances to kill the game. And the Eagles blew it, and the Falcons took advantage. This is why they're paying Kirk Cousins $180 million, or at least signed him to the contract. Life will go on. The Falcons avoid an 0-2 hole. Since 2007, we've had 140 teams start the season 0-2. Only 14 teams out of that 140 have made the playoffs. I'm going to spare you some time right now. We got 9 of those teams right now currently in the NFL who sit at 0-2. Some teams that you can just erase off the face of the earth. Hick, you ready for these teams? Tell me if any of these shock you. The Panthers, they're 0-2. Are they going to do anything? They're making the playoffs?
I'm shocked right now that you're writing them off. I thought for sure they'd be in the mix.
Yeah, they're cooked. Yep, hate to tell everybody. Panthers suck. They're garbage. The New York Giants are 0-2. Do you think they have a turnaround, Hickey?
No.
Okay, let's continue on that. The Broncos. What do you think about the Broncos? Cooked?
Cooked.
Oh, my God. You don't have faith in Bo Nix?
I like Bo Nix. Do I have faith that they will go from 0-2 to a playoff team or be in contention? No.
Yeah,
no, I do not.
They suck. Yeah, they suck. They do. The Steelers beat them 13-6. I mean, the Steelers just, they beat everybody ugly. It's like they're ugly, but they get the job done. The Steelers are like a ugly person that attracts whatever they want. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, Bo Nix says he thinks this past week they took a step in the right direction. What?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think when you go back and watch the film, I think I took a good step. Sometimes good steps don't turn into wins, though. So it's a long process. You know, it's a tough league for a reason. And, you know, we just got to continue to, as a crew, as a group, you know, find ways to get better and build in and taking steps. And, you know, I got to do the same.
All right. Those teams that I mentioned, they ain't going anywhere. They're cooked. Panthers are done. Giants are done. Broncos are done. Let's talk about a team that they may not be done. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the game, right? Let's take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Losing at the last second, the foot of Harrison Butker. They fall to the Kansas City Chiefs 26-25. Typically, they're not afraid of the Chiefs, but past couple of games, the Chiefs have taken care of them. They got Washington up next. Like, they should take care of them, right? This is... The Bengals are not done for this year.
No, well, they're alive. They are alive.
A little bit. Not no championship alive. Hickey, would you say that they're championship alive? They're like barely make the playoffs alive, but I don't feel good about them.
I would say championship alive.
Oh, no.
After what they showed on Sunday, I think they're the only team that could beat the Chiefs in the AFC.
Oh, come on.
No T. Higgins, so you assume if they match again in the playoffs, he'll be back. Jamar Chase, I mean, will he get shut down again the way he did on Sunday? I would probably say no. And so you add that, two best receivers were either invisible or out, and you were one pass interference call away from a rookie DB from winning the game.
It's early. It's early. Yeah, they're alive to make the postseason. And of course, you get into the postseason, at that point, anybody could go on a run. I just don't like the vibe. And it's still early, so you could be right. Right now, this minute, this second, I don't feel good. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, they signed Kareem Hunt to the practice squad today. And he's expected to make the 53-man roster. You might remember this man is a former Pro Bowler with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I digress. The Cincinnati Bengals, they just don't give me, never give me champion right now. Like Joe Burrow, the past couple of seasons, somehow, some way, unfortunately, he's been hurt. You think about Jamar Chase. I mean, he exploded on that referee the other day. He threw and blew a complete gasket. T. Higgins, people are questioning whether or not he actually wants to play football. Is he faking his injury? They're not good. They have an opportunity to turn things around. Their next couple of games, I mentioned to you Washington. If you don't beat Washington, man, then y'all need to just sit out the rest of the year. And then right after that, they play the Carolina Panthers. And so the Cincinnati Bengals have an opportunity and a chance to even things up right away. I'm just not confident. And then Jamar Chase, yeah, he wants his money, but he feels misled by the organization when it came down to his money. And so the Bengals are still alive. And Hickey, the Ravens are still alive too, right?
They are still alive. I would flip. Well, I don't know how you feel about the Ravens, but I would say in terms of, like, you don't feel championship level with the Bengals, that's how I feel about the Ravens. Okay. I don't feel championship about them, but I think they are like a fringe playoff team.
Yeah, ooh, fringe play. I got them in the same damn boat. I really do. But I would take the Ravens more than I'll take the Bengals, but they're both in the same boat trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs when it actually matters. That's where they're at. And so the Ravens are 0-2 as well. They just lost. It's like they were on cruise control, thinking that they just had it in the bag. Against Las Vegas, against the Raiders until they bounced back, and then they lost. They lost to Kansas City to open up the season. Remember Thursday Night Football. They ended up losing last week, or this past Sunday, to Las Vegas. And now they got Dallas on deck. And Dallas is going to try to bounce back after they got their asses whooped, annihilated by the Saints. And so this is going to be a big-time game. Baltimore going down to Dallas. Whoever loses this game is going to come out worse for wear. Because they are going to get dragged through the mud of public opinion. And if Baltimore can't win this game against Dallas, people are going to start writing them off. And understandably so. You better go out there and win this game. This is a bad one. At least the loss from both the Cowboys and the Ravens, they were bad ones. Real bad. You know what? Two teams competing. AFC North. somehow the Steelers are just winning ugly, beating up on everybody. Hickey believes in the Bengals. I believe in the Ravens a little bit more. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, he says, yeah, we're 0-2, but we're not worried about nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, we've been here before, unfortunately. And so we know what this feels like. We know it's a long season. We know we can get ourselves out of it, stick together, get our emotions in check with an extra day this week, come back ready to play a great game in front of our crowd. I expect it to be a great crowd.
Okay. All right. I think we've run the gamut there. The Ravens and Bengals have a little bit more, well, I got a whole lot more life than a team like the Panthers, the Giants, the Broncos. Now, we got some teams that are just kind of in the middle. Or maybe not. The Rams, Hickey, did they find any wide receivers on the street yet?
Not that I've seen.
Ouch. Puka Nacua got the knee. You got Cooper Kupp dealing with the ankle. 0-2. You got Aaron Donald. He can't help anybody because he's hanging out on the beach somewhere in retirement waiting for his gold jacket. The Rams are cooked. You think the Rams are cooked?
I'm going to say no.
Damn, optimism.
I trust Sean McVay is a really good head coach. Oh, Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. I mean, these injuries, they're piling up very quickly. But yeah, they're also, for the most part, not long-term in the sense of season-ending. Cooper Kupp, 6 weeks, but
Cooper Kupp has been hurt, it seems like, since they went to the Super Bowl.
Well, yes. That you're not wrong about. And Puka Nacua re-aggravating an injury from training camp is not great.
It's not.
Offensive line injuries everywhere, not great. But I'll hold out hope that they can come back better in the middle of the year, healthier, turn it around, go on a run. I'm not writing them off just yet.
I like your optimism. Sean McVay sounds sad, though. Listen to this.
And this is one of those moments that you get that pit in your gut and you got a choice. Hey, you want to attack it or do you want to fold? All right, and I'm betting on a lot of the guys that they're going to be the kind of guys that are going to raise their head high. They're going to go back to work. These are humbling moments. These aren't moments that you love to be able to have. But if you got the right growth mindset, then you take it in stride. You handle it like a man. And that's exactly what I expect our coaches, players to do. And that's what I expect of myself as well.
Hickey, did he smoke a pack of cigarettes before he did that? The whole pack?
Very scratchy. Very scratchy. Maybe he drank some scotch, too.
They need to give him some tea, man. That is awful.
When you're calling out names of reserves to go in because everyone's getting hurt, your voice is going
to
go.
No, he's too young to have a voice like that, man. He's going to end up like Doc Rivers before we know it.
Oh, boy.
You don't want them problems. No, not want those. Hey, there's another 0-2 team. Disappointing. And if they don't turn it around, man, we need to just do something with Trevor Lawrence. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-2 as well. We know Trevor Lawrence, he just got that brand new contract. There were some expectations that they'd be better, of course. Trevor Lawrence has thrown, count him, one touchdown. Can't even say count him. He's thrown one. It's not more than one. It's only one. They lost to the Browns. Lost to the Dolphins. They got the Bills up next in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are probably going to whoop that ass. It's bad for Jacksonville. Ugly start. Trevor Lawrence says, we got to figure it out quickly.
We can't hit the panic button, but we got to have some real conversations. And we got too good of a team to come out here and perform 2 weeks in a row like this. These games are precious, and you don't get them back. And we're 0-2 to start the year, and it's not going to get any easier. We got a lot of good teams on our schedule, so. Coming up this week, so we better fix it quick.
Uh-huh, yeah, whatever. Jacksonville Jaguars ain't doing nothing this year either. Go to the postseason and lose. Hickey, we forgot a team. The Indianapolis Colts, any expectations from them?
No.
Okay.
I will not be as optimistic.
Hey, you're optimistic about a lot of other teams except for them, okay.
A lot of problems to fix, lot.
Anthony Richardson, more interceptions than touchdowns thrown?
I will say no. I think that writes itself eventually.
Okay.
Eventually.
All right. Okay. All right. Good luck to all the Indianapolis Colts fans out there. This is going to be a rough one. 855-212-4227. Vlad is calling from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Vlad?
What's up, Mr. Sport Brief? Long time no hear, brother.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, man. I just want to talk about Caleb, man. I'm being real patient with him.
I still think he's the future. I think he is the future of the Bears. It's all I need to get fixed, man. I know that Coleman Shelton guy we got, you know, was a free agent and everything, and he was, you know, he's not a top-tier all-pro, but you get what you get, man, you know? You can't just blame the quarterback all the time. You got to blame the people that are holding him up front. I'm just asking JR, like, should I be able to be patient and just wait it out, or, like, are we all in the reason for freaking out? Like,
oh, come on.
And what if I want Justin Fields back? I don't understand it.
No, nobody wants him back, and thank you, Vlad.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, one out of every 10 people. Come on, Vlad.
Yeah, I know. I don't want him back either, but I'm ready to chase greatness, JR, and that's all I want, man. I want to win.
Well,
I appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much, Vlad. It's two games. It's two games. That's it. Why, who's worried about what Caleb Williams after two games? I get it. We've seen one touchdown. People are bringing up the fact that he told the punter, you won't be punting too much because we'll be scoring. The punter has already punted 12 times over the past two games. Just chill out. It's early. At least Caleb Williams, he shows the ability to throw the ball. He's not afraid to get smacked around. He got hit seven times this past Sunday, sacked seven times, I should say. He'll be fine. He's played 2 weeks of NFL football. Give it some time. Let's see how he develops. The Chicago Bears' next game is against the Indianapolis Colts. One of these quarterbacks got to show up, right? Anthony Richardson or Caleb Williams? I think Anthony Richardson at home, I would think that they would get the W. Hickey, you picking the Colts over the Bears?
I don't know. I really, with how bad that Colts run defense is, DeForest Buckner, the stalwart in the middle, is out. Vlad was worried about the run game for Chicago. You don't have to worry about it too much this week.
Oh, boy.
It'll be back.
Everybody getting some yards.
Oh, yeah.
Just hand the ball off on the other side to Jonathan Taylor. That way Anthony Richardson doesn't have to throw the ball to, I don't know, Simone Biles' husband. Right? That guy's name, Jonathan Owens, that's his name.
Hey, he's got a touchdown this year. He's got more touchdowns than Caleb Williams.
Oh, damn. Is it bad that when I think about him, I think about Simone Biles first? Is that rude or disrespectful? It is, right?
No, I think that's just reality of how people, you know, when you're the lesser, if you will.
Ouch.
of the relationship, you kind of take a back seat. It happens in every relationship, guy or girl.
Jonathan Owens will never join us here. Ever. We had DeMar Hamlin on. We had a lot of people. DeMar Hamlin was here. We had no problem with him. We didn't say anything bad about him. Well, he's not. Well, anyway. I like Simone Biles.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. Lots of gold medals. Champion. Jonathan Owens, journeyman.
That was good.
Nice interceptions, though. Hey, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, Caleb Williams is a rookie. He was able to make a couple of dollars before making the NFL at USC. College football is changing so damn much. The players are making more money. We got a school like Tennessee trying to make more money off of the fans to pay the players. And we even got Ohio State. What a fun promotion they have. Feeding their student athletes. I will explain on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Justin Fields. It appears that he is not going anywhere as starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It looks like it's going to be his job to keep. We'll get into that at the top of the hour. We've already talked about what took place last night between the Falcons and the Eagles. Falcons come out on top, avoid an 0-2 hole. We just talked about a bunch of teams in the NFL that are currently 0-2. Some of them have a little bit of a chance. Some of these teams have no chance in hell. Hello to the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants and the Broncos. Y'all got no chance in hell. And then we had a call. Thank you for calling from Chicago, my main man Vlad. He asked about Caleb Williams. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about with Caleb Williams. Just chill out. and relax right now. Just judge them on the whole season. That's what it was always going to be. Anyway, I know their expectations for the Bears to potentially go on a little bit of a run to the postseason. Give it time. This man just came out of college. Caleb Williams was already a celebrity when he was in school. And we know things are a little bit different now. And even today, over the past several days, over the past several weeks, we've learned so much more about NIL and some of the changes that'll be happening in the future. And it looks like we have quite a few universities and even some states who are taking some preemptive and being proactive in trying to make sure that they're ready for the changes. And what's this change? Forget NIL. Forget marketing deals. We're going to have a day where the schools are going to have to pay the student athletes. How about today here in Georgia? The governor, Brian Kemp, he signed an executive order allowing state schools to pay athletes. You want to know the two biggest football schools here in Georgia? One is called Georgia, and the other one, well, it's right down the block from me, a couple of blocks from here. It's Georgia Tech. Now, these two schools basically said, we have no comment about this, but we appreciate what the governor has done. Because they ain't trying to pay no student athletes today. They're going to wait until somebody else jumps first. How about in Tennessee? If you're a fan showing up after Tennessee has had success last year, having success this year, they're upping upping ticket prices. It sounds so bad, I don't even want to say it. Tennessee is adding a 10% premium charge to tickets. This money will go directly to athletes starting with 2025 season tickets. Now, there's not a lot of clarity there. My understanding is they are hoarding this money for the eventual day that they do have to pay the student athletes. A matter of fact, take a listen to Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White. He spoke today and he explained why NIL funding is going to come from ticket revenue.
We've talked about being transparent, communicate early and often with them. And so we knew that as we look at roster limits and the scholarship limits going away, and certainly the new $22 million revenue share coming into the athletics department, we knew we need their help. And so how do we communicate that and make sure that we're generating as much revenue as we can off of our stadium, off of our arena? And at some point, there was a light bulb moment where somebody in our creative team just said, you know what, let's just be transparent with them and call it what it is. It's a talent fee, and it's going directly to the talent. It's going to our student athletes as part of this new world order in college sports. So I know our fans will embrace it. They've supported us every step along the way, and I expect this same will happen here.
Okay. All right. All right. Somebody has to pay up, right? Money is not coming out of thin air. Somebody has to write the check. Might as well take it from the fans. It's like buying tickets to a concert. What is a service fee? You know, what is the seat fee? What are the arena? What are all these fees? Hickey, that's why I don't buy tickets, man. I just hustle them from somebody, man. I'm not buying this stuff.
That's smart. Avoid the old PSL acronym that I think every fan should hate.
Oh, man, like they're going through in Buffalo. We spoke to Mike Danger last week in Rochester, and he told us about the PSL. Let me put $1,000 down on a seat that I own and I rent it, and I got to pay for it in perpetuity. And then if I want to give it to somebody, then I have to sell it to. It's just, it's nuts. Hey, the business of sports. Look, being a sports fan is being a customer. They'll find a way to take the money out of your pocket any way they can. You are just a number. You're a fan, but you're fan number 1,204,000 or whatever it is. They're going to find a way to get that money. Georgia clearing the way for the schools to pay the players. Tennessee telling the fans, we're going to up your ticket prices so we can pay the players. And then meanwhile, out at Ohio State, I find this one to be absolutely hilarious. Ohio State, they're like, you know what, let's just feed our athletes. Because remember, there was a point in time you couldn't feed them. Listen to this from WLWT.
Chipotle partnering with Ohio State to give student athletes free food. Every scholarship or walk-on student athlete at the school will get approximately, or which by the way is about 1,000 students, will get a custom card from Chipotle giving them a free entree once a week for 15 weeks. Chipotle's nonprofit will also introduce a new scholarship for a student in Ohio State's College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Sciences.
Is that a gift or is that a punishment? Hickey, I haven't had Chipotle since last year. You want to know what I ate last night when I got off air?
Sure, let's hear it.
Chipotle.
And?
You want to know what I ate, 5 minutes after I bought it?
Chipotle?
Yeah, I had to think about whether or not the food was supposed to be hot or cold.
Oh.
I got a burrito. Why? It had no heat. It was not. I'm not talking about in regards to spice. I'm talking temperature. The burrito was just, I was like, was this food sitting in the freezer? They made it right in front of me.
Well, they claim in the commercials, no freezers.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
It was just room temperature. It wasn't even hot. Them Ohio State students are getting robbed of free Chipotle meal a week. Giving these students cold ass food. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll get to your calls and then we'll talk about Justin Fields on the other side. Don't move.